All right. Well, in this episode of Each One, Lead One, I speak with the Chief HR Officer of the Springfield Public Schools, Dr. Bill Redinger, about the most important mentors he's had in his life as a leader and how they impacted Bill. We also hear about how Bill has mentored his team over the years and how it shaped the culture and community around them. Bill, I'm so glad you're here with us.
Oh, thanks, Paul. I'm happy to be here with you, too.
Well, I know this is your first year at Springfield.
True. Yeah, this is my first year at Springfield, but my 29th year in public education.
Yeah, so you and I met several years ago when you were Assistant Soup of HR in the Park Hill Public Schools in the Kansas City area, you know, not that far away.
Right, correct. Just another part of Missouri.
Yeah, well, it was really nice because we had a chance to work together on hiring principals and district leaders for your team, which was really good because it was very personal for you. This wasn't, you know, hiring something that's, you know, an arm's length away. This was very personal, right in front. And so I really got to know you and what makes you tick, and which is why I thought to ask you to come, because you're the kind of person who has lived and breathed the kind of things we were looking for, which was fun. Now, where'd you get your start in education? I know you didn't start in Park Hill. Where did you start the whole journey as a teacher?
Correct. Yes. So I was, as an undergrad college student, I was trained to be a teacher, and mm-hmm. I did that. I was a teacher at the middle school level. I taught what back then was called communication arts. Now it's English language arts. It's gone through a few name changes. But I taught seventh graders, and I did that for 5 years.
Oh, my goodness. There's a special place in heaven for seventh grade.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like my wife was a kindergarten teacher, and there's a special place there, too.
True.
Now, when I talk about, you know, the journey that you've been on, what's that basic path from seventh grade middle school teacher to where you are now? What's the short version of that story?
Well, it's interesting. It's had a certain symmetry that maybe I didn't plan, but mm-hmm. but you'll see that as I explain. I was a teacher for 5 years, and then I was a middle school administrator for mm-hmm. the next 5 years.
Okay.
Then following that, I became a superintendent of schools in some smaller locations for 5 years.
Yeah.
and then it was after that I went in to work exclusively in school human resources. And it was during that time, as you mentioned before, that I was at the Park Hill School District in the Kansas City metro area before moving here to Springfield. So all of my career across the past 29 years has been in the middle of America, either in Missouri or in Kansas.
Right. So the number five shows up a lot. So you and Euclid must be good friends. All right. So when I talk about leadership here, when I talk about leaders, I'm really talking about those who get things done, but focus on growing the talents of their team to do it, which is, you know, that's a level above, you know, managing process and policy. And I know that's what makes you tick as well. In the same way, I define a mentor as someone who comes alongside, more or less a guide on the side, often informally and personally, which is a bit different than a coach who tends to be more formal, focused on skills, and you know, has some kind of authority. So when you think about that on your leadership journey from middle school math teacher, who really stands out as a mentor who shaped you as being a leader along the way?
Yeah, there are two of those that I think about, and I go all the way back to the beginning of my career. And in fact, the first one occurred in the first year that I was teaching. I was a rookie teacher, but I received feedback from the principal who supervised me. After my first set of observations, he said, mm-hmm. "Hey, here's the thing. You're pretty good at this. You're going to be a good teacher." And he had noticed very quickly that I had command of my classroom.
Sure.
Students behaved in my classroom, and he noticed that I had those basics in mind. But what he said to me, and this was really powerful, obviously, because it stayed with me all this time. He said, "You're really good, and you're not in trouble." I'm going to tell you this. There are some strategies that I can coach you in that will make you great and will be really good for your students.
Right.
And that exchange has stayed with me all of these years. Mm-hmm. That, you know, within the first month of my professional career, he invested that time in me. And he said that in a way that he knew that he was my boss, and I knew that he was my boss. And he wanted me to understand that it was coaching that he was doing, and not, you know, some really scary supervisory act. And so that really stayed with me. That was he was the first person that invested in me professionally. And then another one that stands out actually is the next principal that I worked for after I made a move to another town so I could cut my commute down. Sure. I had been teaching for a year or two, and the principal that I worked for, he had placed me on several committees and he had given me some assignments, you know, outside of my typical teaching. And it was then that he said to me, "Have you started your master's degree yet?" And I said, "No, I plan to this summer." And he said, "That needs to be a master's in school administration."
Okay.
And I had the strangest reaction to him. I said very bluntly, I said, "No, sir, too many keys."
No, thank you. What was it about? What was that? What was behind that? No, thank you.
That's I literally said, "There are too many keys involved in that one."
Okay.
I said, "Right now I have one key to my classroom. I do the work that's assigned to me there, and I'm happy in that."
So it's a very tangible thing. You know? It wasn't just a concept. Like,
right. Yeah.
It wasn't just the idea. It's like, one key's enough. That's interesting. I haven't heard it said that way before.
Yeah. And that leader happened to have the wisdom to say, "Okay, I just wanted to approach you with that idea."
Sure.
And he left the conversation at that. And I think he must have known that I tend to be a fairly reflective person.
Yeah.
And then about 2 weeks later, I scheduled some time to sit down in his office with him. Okay. And I said, "Okay, now tell me more.
Tell me more. Tell me more." And it's that wisdom of tell me more that doesn't always happen. But I'm guessing this person likely wouldn't have just let that go. Probably come back with another layer. Yeah. But also understood where you were coming from. This is a little more of a mentoring kind of approach, because a coach doesn't necessarily do what just happened there. This is the mentor. This is the guide on the side kind of a thing. What was it about that approach? You said, "Tell me more." What was the more? What was the rest of the story?
That's when he told me why he believed that I had, some abilities to move into leadership. And I think that was the first time that I ever had someone explain to me the difference in impact that educators can make. And he felt like it was important for me to move my impact from the 25 or so students that would be in front of me each class period.
Sure.
And that was the first that anyone had told me that I needed to consider impacting the adults in a school setting. I just, honestly, I had set out in my career to be a teacher and felt like that was the path I would take. And that was the first time that anyone introduced me to the idea of multiplying my impact in this profession, which, Paul, as you know, that's something you and I have talked about now for years.
Yeah, and there's something about that that's important. I've heard people say that before. We've been doing finalist interviews for clients already, you know, this spring. But very oftentimes when I hear a candidate saying, maybe it's their first administrator role, like an assistant principal, they're still talking a lot about the students. Or if they're talking about the adults, I can multiply my impact. It's more on a process, procedural, program kind of level. But you said adults, impact adults. What about that mentoring that was happening that helped you to begin to make that mental shift from the classroom to now adults being your primary learners? What was in that exchange that happened there over time?
Well, that was interesting because what I had to do at that point was then, you know, of course, I had to do the coursework that would make me qualified to become a school administrator, which I did. But I also began to observe the activities of the school differently and to think, you know, to think less about, you know, what happened moment by moment for students. Not that, you know, I never lost that heart.
Sure.
But I began to watch that leader very carefully and how he interacted with the adults in our school. You know, he had an interesting approach, which was to trust us to do certain tasks, but then as you mentioned too, to come alongside and to guide us when we needed that. He was also a great model of someone who, when we did something well, he was very intentional about praising that work.
Right.
And I still have a note card here in my office that he wrote to me after a school board presentation.
How many years ago?
Oh, gosh, that one now would be 25 or 26 years ago.
That note is still with you.
It's still with me. It's still still here in my office. And so that's I think that's a powerful example of how feedback and praise and just intentional notice of good work, you know, has its place in what we do.
And so that got you started. What kept you going?
Yeah, well, you know, it wasn't too long after he and I had these conversations that I began to get those leadership opportunities in that school district. And in fact, within a couple of years, I moved from the classroom upstairs to the office downstairs as an assistant principal. And that really launched my leadership career. So, but I think what sustained me and what kept me going was the fact that I did have mentors there to encourage me and to help me find the way through leadership activities and tasks that they would give me. And so that's, you know, we talked at the very beginning about that, the symmetry of that those five-year positions that I held. And so that really moved me out of the first 5 years as a teacher and into my next 5 years as a school building administrator.
And now, was that same person as he became an assistant principal or principal at that middle school?
He was a principal, but as I was moving into leadership, he moved up in leadership and he became assistant superintendent and then
in
superintendent
the district.
Of that same district.
So the mentorship continued?
True.
Nice. Okay, so you really had like a 10-year path in a sense with this person.
Yeah. Well, wow. And what's interesting about that very leader is that I encounter him still in our work. He is a recently retired superintendent, having worked both in Missouri and Kansas, and now does some work around strategic planning with school districts. And I was very happy to encounter him last fall.
Sure.
After I had come here to Springfield Public Schools, and that group was working with us on some strategic planning, and we had a great time recounting those old memories. And I made a real point of reminding him of that interchange that we had when I was just a second or third year teacher, and he's the one who encouraged me to move into leadership. And I think. Those conversations are important. I think it's important that we acknowledge.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's part of it is the gratitude, is the thank you piece. Now, one of the biggest legacies that we leave behind, which you now have let him to know, that is a legacy he left, which was you, is those people that we've mentored or coached along the way.
Yeah.
So you don't have to mention names, but how has mentoring been a part of leading your team over the years, and maybe there's one or two examples of that mentoring that you have had a similar impact on them.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, now I work exclusively in school human resources, and one of the things that I've had the opportunity to do is to meet with school leaders. You know, maybe they're a principal or an assistant principal, and they're beginning to think about charting the course of the rest of their time working in public education. And so I've often had the chance to sit down with those who will say, hey, I'm really interested in the work that you do in human resources, and can you help coach me to move me along a path that would allow me to do that kind of work? And it's gratifying to me because often, you know, they will mention the work that they've observed of mine as a model for that.
Okay.
And of course that's gratifying because all of us love to hear that sort of feedback. Mm-hmm. But even more gratifying is then when I can see those folks move even away from the school district that I might have worked with them in and see them now become colleagues of mine in the school human resources world.
How many would you say that's happened over the years?
Oh,
I know I've been in places where people can look across the room and, you know, point him.
Yeah.
How many would you say, just ballpark guess?
Gosh, there are probably four or five of my own personal stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can also think of, another colleague of mine that I worked with back at that original site that I would then find myself in professional meetings with. And he was a colleague of mine, but a mentor as well. And then he was serving in a human resource capacity in a large district.
Sure.
I was as well. We just, you know, we just found ourselves doing the same kind of work. And it's interesting that connection.
And if you think about it, too, of those people that you've mentored and they've moved up in leadership, even to become colleagues, and even if they didn't quite become to the same level, they still moved up. Have you noticed a pattern where they are passing it on? They are doing the same thing. Are you aware of any of those stories?
Yeah, just sort of anecdotally.
Sure.
But they will they'll even sometimes ask me about that kind of coaching and how you do that. And I don't know that I can necessarily always tell them what the art and science of that is, but I talk to them about the conversations that I had with them, and I remind them, well, you know, we were working on a real life example, but I took maybe some time to pull back from that and to remind them, you know, here's maybe the human resource concept or function that we're working in right now.
Right.
Even though this is pressing and has to be handled in the moment, there's a bigger picture to it. So I think it's a lot of times in coaching, it's that act of the small picture and big picture at the same time. And I think those mentoring conversations are powerful.
Yeah. And when you think about it, too, I'm just kind of curious because you had so many years with that first real impactful mentor as a teacher and then as an administrator. Is there something that you said or did with these people that you've mentored that you've heard the echo of your past mentors come out? Did you, like, it's like, you know, a parent looking, you know, working with your children and you hear your dad's or your mom's voice come out of your mouth and go, I can't believe I just said that.
Yeah.
Have you noticed something similar to that from your past mentors in your work? Like what might be an example of that?
Well, I think an example of that is the impression that those leaders made on me, that it's really important to listen.
Yeah.
I think many of us as leaders, and I would be counted among them, are verbal kinds of people. You know, we like conversation. We like to talk.
Right.
We're maybe natural at presenting because that's a big part of the work that we do.
Sure.
But we have to be reminded to listen, and I've had those mentors, you know, impress that upon me, and then I pass that along to the folks that I now mentor. That listening is a big part of the act of leading,
and not listening so that you can wait for your turn to talk. It's a different kind of listening. What is it you're passing on?
Well, it's active listening. It's listening for the true heart that comes across from the person that you're interacting with.
Yeah.
You know, the need that they have in whatever that exchange is that you're going through at the time. And you're so right. I'm glad that you mentioned that. I just had that conversation with someone not so long ago that it's not our job to listen so that we can prepare this stunning comeback.
Right.
And you know, throw the next punch in a, mm-hmm. in a mm-hmm. verbal, you know, boxing match or something like that.
Right,
it's
right.
To hopefully solve problems and to get to the place where we can work with and serve that person.
Yeah. So that's a different kind of mindset, isn't it?
It is.
It's a growth mindset. And that's something that I've heard from you over the years as well. And you just told us some here is that the listening is for growth. And even if there's conflict, this isn't a chance to defend myself. This is a growth opportunity. This is a teachable moment. That everything is a teachable moment, but that takes humility on your part, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. You know, one of the things that's been on my mind, especially recently, and you know, maybe it's because I have been in leadership so long, is I'm beginning to kind of study the concept of technical leadership. Along with, or not versus, but along with
sure.
adaptive leadership.
Yes.
You know, technical leadership is something that I, you know, I have to have in the work that I do. I have mm-hmm. to know something about labor law. I have to understand contracts.
Right.
I have
to
be in the details of maybe insurance products. Those are the things that make up human resource work. But I also have to be an adaptive leader. And and that's that concept of being a good listener, understanding the human side, understanding timing of
right.
when to send certain messages, understanding that there's a political portion to the work that we do
just,
in schools.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, and being able to withstand and still prosper, you know, in that environment too. So I've really been thinking about
right.
that blend of technical and adaptive skill.
Well, that was my last question is about what maybe trends or strategies in mentoring and professional development that kind of excite or concern you. And so you're really saying it's that blend, like you're saying, of the technical leadership as well as, what did you call it?
As adaptive.
Adaptive leadership.
Yeah.
Right. And where do you think that is going? Is that growing? Is that a niche? Is that something that is just something in your mind, or is there a trend there?
Yeah, I do think there's a trend there.
Good.
And I have found myself in a handful of conversations recently talking mm-hmm. with other leaders about that very thing and understanding
right.
that we have to have a blend to that. And I hope that in some ways that's a response to the challenges that we've seen.
Right.
In school
right.
leadership over the last handful of years, because it has been a difficult time,
mm-hmm.
and we still see some political difficulty happening, and that's
right.
not new, but
right,
but
it's different.
Certainly,
it's a twist now. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's still a part of our reality. So I think helping leaders to understand that they have to have that blend mm-hmm. of the technical ability and the adaptive ability is what makes good leadership. And what can make these careers sustainable for people?
Right, because the technical side is sort of the managing component.
Correct.
And this is where we say that, you know, great leaders have to be also great managers.
Yeah.
But not all managers are great leaders.
That's so true.
And I, that helps the way you just described it right now helps me to see why that is. I tell you what, Bill, this has been a great conversation. I'm very inspired. I've been encouraged. It's, you know, like sitting in a coffee shop. I just wish we had, you know, the coffee between us here. But best wishes on your next phase of life. And, you know, life is a team sport. And great leaders are all around us when each one leads one. So thank you for your stories and your contribution. It's been a real pleasure.
Bet. Thanks for having me, Paul.
All right, so I'll hit stop. And